Thank you so much for getting us started. And it's interesting how the Holy Spirit works, because what you said is dovetails with what you put on my heart to share. We serve an awesome God, don't we? He's amazing. This particular message, Scott asked me to preach something for the new year, something, and I just knew this is what he wanted me to say. And I've been praying. I said, Lord, ready me, but ready all our hearts to receive this word. It's his word. And I said, whoever you want to hear it, you bring them. So if you're here this morning, it's not by accident as you're here. And there's something here for you that he wants to speak into your heart. I don't know what that is exactly, but he does, and that's good enough. So thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your goodness. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence among us. We know you're here. You told us you would be. You said you would inhabit the praises of your people. And you tell us that your word will not return empty or void, but will accomplish your purposes. And so we pray that for each person here this morning, that your word would accomplish its purpose in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, and for Jesus' glory, amen. So, when's the last time you had heartburn? Chuck.
I got this ear infection. There was a reason behind me getting an ear infection. And not only did they see the cancer, but I used to get heartburn a lot.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Heartburn is that sensation we get here in our chest that comes from stomach acid, probably from something we ate. According to what I read, 60 million Americans suffer from this at least once a month. So it's pretty common. They make all these different antacids and so forth. Today's message is not about physical heartburn, but spiritual heartburn. This is a good kind of heartburn. I believe in 2024, the Lord desires for you to get spiritual heartburn and to keep it. Spiritual heartburn comes from the Holy Spirit quickening specific parts of God's word to your heart. And it has to do with the call he has on our lives. Each of you have a call, something God has for you, a purpose. And there's scriptures in there that will burn in your heart when you read them, and it'll coincide with what he's calling you to do. So, spiritual heartburn. There were two disciples of Jesus who were walking on the road to Emmaus on Easter day. This is from Luke 24. And Jesus shows up on the road and walks and talks with them. However, they didn't know it was the Lord. He kind of blinded them to know who he was. But the more they walked and the more Jesus talked and opened up the scriptures to them, the more they had spiritual heartburn. In verse 25 in Luke 24, Jesus rebukes them. He says, "O foolish ones, slow in heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ, the Messiah, have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then in beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. There are times in our lives when we become like these two disciples. They were discouraged, downhearted, because they didn't see or totally understand what all was going on in their lives at the time. It looked like things were bad. And we get like this. We too can be slow in heart to believe in all the word that has been written for us. And some of these verses, we just simply don't believe. It's hard to believe. And consequently, we miss out on blessings from God and what he has for us. And then, in verses 31 and 32, their eyes were opened, and they knew it was the Lord. They recognized him. And then he vanishes, disappears from in front of them. Then they said to one another, "Didn't our heart burn within us as he talked with us on the road and while he opened up the scriptures to us?" As we walk in this journey of life and we read his word, same thing's going to happen to us. There's going to be a burning within us from certain scriptures that he has for us. So, the question is, have you ever gotten spiritual heartburn? I'm sure like these two men, they were surprised and probably tried to dismiss it at first, but they couldn't. They couldn't dismiss this spiritual heartburn they had. It was truly a moment of revelation for them, as it will be for us, from God to us. It's what the Lord, this is how he works. He draws near to us through his Spirit in fellowship and then reveals things to us through his word, instructing us in exactly what we're to do and how we're to be a witness to those he puts around us. So, can you recall something that the Lord has put on your heart that burned? And what scriptures did he say to you that burned within you? We're going to let these questions stew for a little bit. We're going to come back to them. Meanwhile, we're going to go to another example. Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, he was a prophet. Jeremiah had a good case of spiritual heartburn as well. He had been given a message to speak to the people. It was a message from God, but nobody wanted to hear it. No one believed what Jeremiah had to say. And because of this, he suffered. Mentally, emotionally, and even physically, all because he preached the truth from God's word to the people and to the priests and to the king. You see, the Israelites at that time had turned their backs on God. They were worshiping idols, and they were engaging in abominable practices, which should have caused them to be ashamed, but they were beyond blushing. And Jeremiah was calling him back to repentance. He was ridiculed, treated with contempt. He was insulted. He was mocked and made a laughingstock. You can read all this in Jeremiah 20. In time, Jeremiah felt very discouraged. He was ready to quit. And he tried to quit, but he couldn't. Why? That's what he says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, 8 and 9. "But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it." Jeremiah just couldn't stop speaking what God had put on his heart because it was burning so much within him. Heavy-duty heartburn from God. and burn like a fire in his bones. Now, although we might not have been called to pronounce God's judgment on his people, like Jeremiah, we each have a call from God. And at times that call can leave us very discouraged and despondent, just like Jeremiah. Not much has really changed in 2,600 years when this happened. We all at times become discouraged and need to rise above the stuff and lean on the Lord through the hard times. But God's word was burning in Jeremiah's heart. And we need to let God's word burn in our hearts as well. And let the Holy Spirit rekindle, refuel that fire that was once there in our bones. And then as the Holy Spirit leads us, speak up and do what he has called us to do. So, back to our question. Do you have spiritual heartburn? Do you know what God's purposes and plans are for your life? Do you know what things set your heart on fire? That heartburn from the Lord. Lastly, have you backed off in pursuing these things because of lack of fruitfulness or discouragement? Good questions. I'll use myself as an example. I know after 30 years of trying to do what God put on my heart, without much or any lasting success, my heartburn slowly diminished, and the flame that was once there burning bright was all but out. Romans 11:29 says, Paul says this, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. What does that mean? His purpose for your life and for my life are irreversible, unchanging, and final. There's no escaping what he's called you to do. Just like Jeremiah. It is what he called you to do. So after a prolonged period of being downhearted, my spiritual heartburn has returned, praise God. I first got this spiritual heartburn while attending Chickies. I was happy. Life was good. I had received Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I was forgiven. I was born again. I had a beautiful wife, two small sons, and a job that I felt called to do. I was a art teacher in Hemfield for 35 years. I really felt God had me there for his purposes. And he did. However, in the midst of all this, life was good. In the middle of this idyllic-looking life, the Lord gave me a sense of dissatisfaction. At first, I was unsure what was going on, what was happening. As weeks turned into months, I realized this unsatisfied thing was something spiritual. I didn't know it then, but he gave me a holy dissatisfaction. Discontentment. One day, a friend there at Chickies, past moderator, Becker Ginder, came up at me and said, Mike, what's going on with you? I told him I wasn't sure, and I wasn't. I said, I just feel there's got to be more. He said, more what? I said, I don't know. More signs and wonders. He's just scratching his head, you know. The Lord was giving me a sense of spiritual heartburn. I didn't really understand it. Every time I read certain scriptures, they leaped off the page and just grabbed me, and they wouldn't let go. Here are some of them. Oh, going the wrong way. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. These are Jesus' words. Let that sink in, what he's saying to us here. It's like, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they'll speak in new tongues, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. It's all Jesus' words, too. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said to them, behold, I held Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and that shall by any means hurt you. Well, this, I got more. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit, God, so that from Jerusalem and around Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. From Mark 11, have faith in God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. As he is, this is Jesus, so are we in this world. I just get this goosebumps up the back of my neck when I read these truths. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I knew that this burning on my heart in these scriptures was the Lord's doing. And my current experience with the Lord was lacking. As time passed, the Holy Spirit would not let me rest. He gave me this insatiable appetite for the more that Jesus had said in other scriptures from the Word that were burning in me. So I started going to these special meetings, revival services, with Dove Christian Fellowship. You ever hear of them? Over in the Effort area? Because I didn't understand all these things, and I knew that things like that were happening in them, with them. I also had a group of students meeting my art class in my art room before school every Wednesday. And this small group was also part of Rhema Youth Ministries, which was a connection with Dove. And as a small group leader, I was encouraged to go to the home of a man named Larry Kreider, who lived just outside Lititz. And I was supposed to go to his basement like once a month to receive instructions and encouragement. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll go to Larry Kreider's. I didn't even know who Larry Kreider was. So I go to Larry Kreider's house, and we're all in his basement. It's packed full of young adults. And I was a young adult at that time, too. And he said, we're going to just spend a little time in prayer. So I'm like, all of a sudden, around the room, I'm like, ooh, what in the world is going on here? Everybody but me was speaking in another tongue. Well, that's just what they did. They were just all talking to the Lord in the spirit, spirit to spirit, without using their brain. A couple of the people there noticed I was like a deer in the headlights, kind of, and it's okay, Mike. It's all right. And I felt all right. I knew God had wanted me there, and I was there to experience that. I'm like, wow, there is more. So as these scriptures are all burning in my heart, and I'm learning so many things from attending Dove, and I was called by New Beginnings to help plant new, or called by Chickies to help plant New Beginnings. I'd really sensed that God wanted us to become all that he wanted in his church and what he intended for his church. And I believe New Beginnings was supposed to be a new beginning in the Church of the Brethren. Also, the reason that we were given the book of Acts and Paul's letters is to see how we are to do church through the Spirit's leading and flowing with him to be a witness to our world. So just before we planted New Beginnings, I received a prophetic word from a woman from Hosanna Church in Lidditz. Now, I was not in church. I was at my sister's beauty shop on Rossville Road outside of Ephrata. I'm sitting there in a chair reading my Bible, and this woman was getting her hair done by my sister, and I was reading this scripture. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled. The new wine will be ruined. The wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So I'm sitting there reading this, thinking, what in the heck does this mean? You ever have those kind of questions? And like Philip to the eunuch in the wilderness, do you remember? He was reading the scriptures and didn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit says, go. And he ran down and heard him reading out of the book of Isaiah about Jesus. And he said, do you understand what you're saying? And he said, no. Or understand what you're reading? He said, no. And Philip explained about who Christ was and what he came to do. Well, this woman came up to me in a similar way. She says, so what are you reading? I said, this. She said, do you understand what you're reading? I said, no, don't really. She said, the old wineskin was Chickies. It couldn't contain the new wine that the Lord wanted to do and was wanting to pour out through New Beginnings. So New Beginnings was born. And over the years, the Holy Spirit has been faithful, moving through us in a variety of ways. Several people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm not the only one that speaks in other tongues now in this group. I saw various physical healings take place, from severe back issues, completely healed in a moment, to polymyalgia healed, to TMJ healed, to a fellow teacher of mine in the hallway limping along. I said, what's up with you? I have this knee. It always just gives me problems. And I prayed for him in the hallway, and that knee was completely healed that day before he left school, between classes in the hallway. I mean, I've seen God do all these incredible things. I've seen people delivered from demonic oppression. Others received prophetic words and were given visions. At the start of New Beginnings, God made it clear that we needed apostolic oversight at New Beginnings, someone with that gift. And the Lord used New Beginnings to call out Tim Deering to his apostolic call. And now he's using that gift through Netzer to not just bless us, but other churches as well. We also, as a church, received a prophetic training to go out to minister to other churches. We would receive words from the Lord for these churches and leaders to encourage them, guide them, bless them. And we've also received words for New Beginnings or the Mannheim area and for Teen Central right here, the ministry at Teen Central, all for Jesus' glory. You know, the enemy didn't like any of those things. Imagine that. In the direction we were going. And in time, he brought complacency, division, followed by discouragement and despair. And Recently, I preached a sermon about how God prunes us individually and as a church. But he does it so we'll be more fruitful. Well, we've gone through a season of pruning. It's been hard. Recently, the Lord prompted me to reread a book I bought in 2009 by John Bevere called Extraordinary, The Life You're Meant to Live. Basically, John says in his book, far too many Christians live an inferior life, far below what God has given us and which is explained in the Word of God. A life directed by the Holy Spirit and filled with His power. I believe this has always been God's plan for the church, in particular for new beginnings. But for this to happen in new beginnings, each of us need a new beginning and renewed heartburn. Did you catch what Brandon Hanks said? I don't know if you caught it or not. I did. I wrote it down. When he was here preaching in December, he said, new beginnings needs a new beginning. He's right. We do. We need to seek the Lord in new and greater ways, walking closely with him, and then walk in his power and his authority that he's made available to us. When we're filled and refilled with his Spirit, he will once again work in and through us to bring about new beginnings to people around us as well, not just in us, but to others around us. The Lord had to remind me why he wanted this scripture on our logo for our church. Zechariah 4:1. Not by might, we can do this. Not by power, come on. But by my Spirit, says the Lord. So I needed to be reminded of this. I said, thank you, Lord. I needed that reminder. Again, new beginnings started off well, but unfortunately we slip backwards in our calling and our ministry. I'll take much of the blame myself for new beginning going backwards. Honestly, over time I got tired. I got burned out. I got discouraged. And I became lazy. Then when Jay McCumber stepped out of Netzer, there were no more invitations for us to prophetically go to other churches and hear from the Holy Spirit for them. That ministry dried up. Consequently, we were not near as intentional anymore in seeking the Lord and listening intently to the Holy Spirit as we used to do. And slowly over time, we didn't look for or make room for or expect the Holy Spirit to move or speak in our midst any longer. It just happened. We slipped back into what most churches are like. Powerless. It's not what God wants. Not at all. Oh, these churches, they do love God. We love God and Jesus, and we're going to heaven. But for the most part, we're void of power. It's not what the Lord has in mind. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. Mark 16:20, he says, and they went out and preached everywhere in the world, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. Amen. The gospel message, the good news about Jesus, is supposed to be accompanied and confirmed by God's power. Signs and wonders accompanying the preaching of that word so that people will know it's the truth. Nonetheless, most evangelistic attempts and methods and the way we do church today continue to be without the demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power." Because we don't make room and expect the Holy Spirit to move among us, he doesn't. Make no mistake, this lack of power is not good. It hinders our witness and handicaps the gospel message. Again, when the supernatural does not manifest or display itself, much of the gospel power to transform lives, as the word describes, is taken away. You know, Paul went to Athens. Let's see if I have this here. Here we go. He went to Athens and preached a sermon on Mars Hill in Athens. And listen to what he says. So Dan has this. Go ahead, Dan, read that.
Acts 17:22-34. "Then Paul stood in the midst and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that all of you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, "To the unknown God." Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the heaven and the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord and the heaven of earth. He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life breath and all things. And he has made one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and might find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, 'For we are his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysus the Aphrodite and a woman named Damaris, and others with them."
Thanks, that's a lot. Now, why did I have you, Daniel, read that? Here's Paul in Athens with all these brilliant people, and he was preaching this message. If that particular sermon that he was preaching there is studied by people all over the place about how it's great oratory, this and that, and I studied it during some of my classes in getting my ordination. But what was the result of Paul's sermon? Do we know? After he preached this great oratory message. What? Nope. Yeah, they were divided. It says a few people came to faith. Just a few. So, if we go to Acts, go to the next chapter. If you have a Bible, you can open it up there. Acts, this is the end of Acts 17. We're going to go to Acts 18. The very next verse, it says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. You say, so? Paul learned some things from his Athens preaching. There are just a few people. It says, some men joined him and believed. And they named two men and a woman, three people. He learned something. He was preaching the gospel without power. There were some conversions, but not what he wanted. So he goes to Corinth and he does things differently. And as he preached, and also had signs and wonders accompanying his preaching. I mean, you have to imagine, Corinth was the hellhole for the enemy. There was a temple in Corinth that had 1,000 prostitutes where you went to worship and you went to these prostitutes. I mean, that's how wicked this city was. Paul knew he was up against it and that he needed a different approach. Just saying good words would not be enough. And so this is what he says, 1 Corinthians, and it says this, brethren, I came to you, I did not come to you with excellent speech of wisdom declaring the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not worth pervasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the whole city was transformed. Whole city this time. Because he not only preached the word and Jesus Christ crucified and risen, but he showed them that he's alive and well. Most of our evangelism attempts, the way we do church today, I'm saying this in general, continue to be without the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And because we don't make room for the Holy Spirit among us, he doesn't come. He doesn't do things. This lack of power is not good. Not good at all. In 2 Timothy, see if I got another slide here. This isn't the one I want. Okay, that's all right. So next one, that's all right. I'm not saying these things about other churches, about new beginnings, or about you or about me, to just criticize us. It's not the intent at all. But the Lord wants us to think differently how we're to respond to his word and his promises. I mean, Jesus himself said this to the Pharisees. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. What's his Father's work? What did he do? What was the work? Deaf hear, blind see. Lame walk, right? Don't believe me unless I do the Father's work. But if I do the Father's work, believe the evidence of the miraculous works I have done. And even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Jesus is saying, look, if I can't do this stuff, don't believe what I have to say. If Jesus says that, how much does that mean for us? Shouldn't just be talk. This is a hard word, I know. It's hard for me too. Paul says to Timothy, he was writing to Timothy, and he says, they have a form of godliness, but deny its power. Turn away from these people. Wow. Wow. I'll say this in general. Christians today say they believe God's word. Oh, we believe it all. Mostly, and again, I'm not doing this just to be critical of myself or you or anybody. Mostly, what we have is what is called mental assent. We agree that it's true. Meaning that in our minds, we believe it's true, but in reality, we don't act upon it because we really don't believe it down in our hearts. So we don't act upon it because it's truly not in there where it needs to be. And so God's power is nullified to a point. If that makes any sense. Why don't we believe these things? Why are we rendered powerless? Because of our lack of experiences. We don't see it happening, so we think, oh, I guess it doesn't happen today anymore. That was just in the first century when that was supposed to happen. And people go to great lengths to come up with doctrines and reasons explaining away that why there's no supernatural power. It never says it stops. You ever notice that? And these things are not just for the first century church. This is all for us for now. So we end up trusting our five senses, what we see, what we hear, what we smell or touch or taste. We believe those more than this. Sorry. Tell me if I'm wrong. I do. I'm blaming myself. I'm guilty. This is more accurate than what these see. This is more accurate than what these hear. This is the truth. This doesn't change. Again, I don't say these things to be critical of us, but to get us to think differently about God's word and how we respond to it. I tell you the truth, unless you change, I'm pointing the finger at me, unless you change, Mike, and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Who believes? I'll tell you what, we had lunch with Brandon Hanks and his family at our house not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. He has two daughters, both in elementary school. The things God is doing through his children, these two girls, Mariah and Alethea. These little girls prophesy to kids in school and speak over people in their church. This woman had these issues, physical issues, and this little girl in fifth grade goes over and lays her hands on her, and this woman was completely healed through Mariah's faith and her word. She spoke over that woman in their church. She had no inhibitions at all. She was just a little child, and it says this, I believe it, and she just does it, and it just happened. She's just still just a little girl. But God honored her faith in her prayer, that faith in a child. It's like, oh, Lord, I am so thick sometimes. Why don't I just do it? Do what you say. It's me. Well, I'm getting near the end here. As we look at new beginnings, how we currently appear to the world around us and to the other churches in our area, Look at us. We look weak, small, insignificant. Most people say they're nothing. But to God, we're a prime target for His grace, His mercy, and His power to flow through us to a hurting world. Why do I say that? Because God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the things that are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And God chooses the base things of this world, that the things that are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We are prime for God to pour out His power to us because we are exactly as He wants us. Completely dependent upon Him and have nothing to offer if He doesn't come. But He wants to and will. I truly believe that. That's powerful, isn't it? That's His word. That's our God. Also, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Do you feel weak? You feel like nothing? Congratulations. You're perfect for God to use in some way, in mighty way. Therefore, I boast gladly in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord is not finished with us at New Beginnings. We need to let Him rekindle heartburn once again within us, so His purposes again will be done in and through us. But we need to respond differently. We need to do some things differently. We need to not just say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We invite you here. Yes, that's part of it. But we need to make room for Him to truly come, and I don't know how that's all going to work. I just don't. I don't have like a 1-2-3 list. But we need to do that. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force Himself upon us. He waits until He's invited and welcomed in. And but then He will. He really will. You think, well, Mike, I'm just a, yeah, you're perfect. You're prime to be used by God. He's looking for nobodies to say, okay, I'm a nobody. Here I am, God, use me. So He desires to flow through you and through me to transform this little corner of the world we call Mannheim. For God's kingdom to come and for God's will to be done in Mannheim as it is in heaven. And I don't think that's too big of a stretch of that verse. All for Jesus' glory and for honor. This is not for New Beginnings to look better or for Mike to be look better. This is for Jesus' glory and honor. We just got to step out of the way and just be available. Let Him flow through us. Clean out all the unbelief. Read this as a first time ever. You know, when you read through this, don't look at it with fresh eyes. Fresh eyes of a child. And it's like, wow, that's for us. And then act upon it. So, God's power is flowing through you, wants to flow through you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your great love for us, that You would send Jesus to die on the cross in our place so we can have this relationship with You, Father. Thank You that Jesus, You're not dead. You died, but You rose again victorious, and You've given us Your Spirit to live in us and be upon us. Thank You. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing ourselves to become discouraged, for us losing our heartburn, for slipping backwards in our calling, and what You've asked us to do. I ask for myself, Lord, You forgive my laziness and my self-centeredness. You say, to whom much is given, much is required. You've given us much, Lord. Lord, I ask you to forgive us for our unbelief. Lord, help us to read and understand your word as a child. To not just believe your word, but to step out in faith as you direct us, Lord, not in something weird, but as your spirit directs us, just like Jeanette, when she had that woman she was ministering to that had that wound that would not heal, and you just prompted her just to pray a simple prayer for her, for healing for that wound. And you did, to the amazement of that nurse that would come in and change that bandage all the time. I thank you for Jeanette's willingness to just be used by you in such a small way and yet such a big way. Lord, does little things. Help us tune into your still, small voice to those you bring our way. That others would not just hear that you're the Savior and you love them and you have a plan for their lives, but they would see it through power being manifested somehow in their lives and through them. So, Lord, I pray now, the things I said that they don't need to hear or remember, take it away. But those things that are of you, Lord, don't let it go. Bring it back to the remembrance, Holy Spirit. Bring us all fresh heartburn, Lord, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I got this all ready. And the Lord said, okay, Mike, don't just preach it. Now do it, too. Like, okay. So, who has a need? Could be physical. Could be otherwise. We're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to move now because that's how he wants to do it. We're going to invite him in to whatever it is. And you hear my voice is messed up because I'm struggling with a sinus infection myself. But I know people that suffer from hearing loss that pray for people that are deaf and they are healed. Do I understand how God works? No, not completely. But he does. So is there anybody before? I'm going to just say it. Give you the opportunity. We'll believe for the Lord to do something awesome. Is there anything anybody needs prayer for? Judy, for your knees. Okay. So just agree with me as we pray. You can just stay where you're at. Lord, thank you for Judy. Your healing touch is for Judy. She's your daughter. It's part of her inheritance, Lord, as a child of God. You said, by his stripes, you were healed in past tense. So, Lord, manifest your healing in Judy's knees in the name of Jesus. We know that you can heal instantly. And we know you can heal over time. And we ask, Lord, however you want to do it, to do it. But we ask you, Spirit, Lord, go through Judy now, right from the top of her head to her whole body. Put in alignment the things that are not in alignment. Bring the swelling down or any physical issues with bones or muscles or tendons. Put them all in alignment that healing would come and that Judy could be a witness of your goodness and your glory. Do that through her, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else need a prayer this morning? Well, just thank you, Lord, for Judy, what you're going to do. Okay, I don't want to belabor this, but so, Lord, we thank you that you're faithful. Mike. Yeah. Daniel.
For the past couple of years, I've been dealing with cycles of depression and suicidal stuff like
that. Okay. All right. Okay. We'll pray for Daniel, Lord. Thank you for Daniel. There's a reason he's here this morning, Lord. Lord, these depression and any thoughts of hurting himself are not of you. We know that, Lord. We know that for certain. So, Lord, we believe Daniel has a call in his life. We can see it. Different ones of us here know it. And I think Daniel knows it too. And, Lord, I pray this would be a breakthrough for Daniel. We ask for a breakthrough for Daniel now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just pray the blood of Christ over his mind. The enemy would love to get in there and put in thoughts and do things in his mind, Lord, that would bring these thoughts and bring them down. And so we just pray, Lord, that your joy would just rise up within Daniel in such great measure that all the other would be driven out in Jesus' name. Whatever thoughts that are there from the enemy, we bind them and cast them out in Jesus' name. And Lord, let him sense a true new start, Lord. We just pray protection over his mind, Lord, and that depression and any other things that would try to come in would just go, whether it be natural of cause or whether it be part of the enemy working. We just command it to go in the name of Jesus. Any depression or suicidal kind of thinkings or tendencies, go in the name of Jesus and not come back. Thank you, Father, for this young man. Thank you for the call in his life, Lord. Fill him with a fresh sense of your presence. And let his joy be your strength, Lord God. I thank you for the Brubaker family. Let's bless their time as they go out to this conference in Chicago. Keep them safe in their flying and their travels. Let it be a time of great connection as a family, these men together. Okay, thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Larry? Okay. What's on your mind, brother?
Pray for our family, because in the last 6 months, our family has literally been torn apart. And also pray that I lose the attitude that God has abandoned our family, and so has the church.
Okay. Those are lies from the pit, but we'll pray for that. Father, you know completely what's going on in Larry and his family, Lord. It's been a very discouraging season for them. The enemy would like to believe that he's alone and that you can't do anything about it, Father. That's a lie. You love them so much, and it breaks your heart even more than it breaks Larry's. So I just lift Larry and Alice to you, Lord. I pray that a fresh sense of your presence and of your love in their lives. And Lord, for their family, we pray for breakthroughs, Lord. Breakthrough in their marriage, in their relationship, a breakthrough with their daughter Jen, a breakthrough with Anj and her family. Lord God, a true breakthrough, Lord God, that you would put people in their lives, not just people from New Beginnings, but where Anj and Jennifer are now, Lord, that you would put people in their lives that know you, that could speak truth into them, that they would be changed. Lord God, and they be encouraged. You know everything that's needed. Lord, show yourself strong in Alice and Larry's family, Lord God. Anything that the enemy is doing there that is not of you, we bind and we break in Jesus' name. Just encourage your hearts now, Father. Help faith to rise up within them afresh to claim the victory for their family, Lord. You're a good God. You're a good Father. And when we lift them to you, Lord, it is a powerful thing. Help us to not abandon our faith or their faith in you and in your word. Confirm it afresh. Give them fresh heartburn, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Alice, to fresh heartburn, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, this week, we pray that our eyes would be opened. Help us see opportunities to be a blessing to others and to not shrink back when you're asking us to lay a hand on someone for healing. Oh, Lord, you're just looking for that, or for to just encourage somebody. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to step out in faith, because you love to use nobodies. That's me. That's us. For Jesus' glory, we just give you the praise, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.